Good to be with you today and take a little bit of a stroll down memory lane. And I'm kind of beginning with that this morning. Talk to you today about surprises. And some of you, speaking of the old days, will remember when I was pastor here and my folks used to come out and visit. Remember maybe my mother? My mother lived to be 102. And on her 90th birthday, she still lived in her own place and still drove around. And so for her 90th birthday, she got in her car and drove to the edge of the city to a business, pulled into the parking lot, got out and went into the showroom and said, "Can somebody take me for a ride on one of these?" She was in a Harley Davidson dealership. The salesman was flummoxed, didn't know what to do. He says, "I'm going to have to get the manager." The manager came out and said, "Ma'am, how old are you?" And she said, "I'm 90. He said, "Which one of these do you want to ride on?" And we wouldn't have known anything about it except that they posted her on their Facebook page. Surprise! C.S. Lewis, no relation, a famous Christian author, wrote a book, Surprised by Joy. And in that book, he talks about all the ways in which God surprises us. We'll talk about one of those today. And it seems fitting because we just started Lent and the Lenten season. So if you take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew 27. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27, and we're going to begin today in the 50th verse. Where it tells us, "And when Jesus had cried again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and saw all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, 'Surely he was the Son of God.'" We're going to look at where it tells us in verse 51, "And at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two, from top to bottom." Hopefully you're aware of what's going on here, but there's lots of ways in which you can get the information if you're not. A quick overview is that this curtain was the entrance to the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies was where the presence of God was. And the chief priest and the high priest went into the Holy of Holies to offer the sacrifice for the people. Who else went into the Holy of Holies? Nobody. Nobody. The presence of God was reserved in this place for the high priest. But it tells us that when Jesus died on the cross, that curtain was ripped from top to bottom. Now, I don't know how much thought you've given to this, but what do you think of when you think of this curtain that was torn? I hadn't given it a lot of thought till I did some study, and I've pictured that, like where we enter, well, like those double doors back there, that instead of wooden doors, there was a curtain. Not even close. The curtain that they're talking about here was 60 feet high by 30 feet wide. You suppose when that curtain was ripped from top to bottom that anybody noticed? I'm going to say they noticed. What went on here? It tells us in the scripture that when Jesus died, that curtain was ripped, meaning what? That's the surprise. That's what we're going to look at today. Meaning that it was no longer just the high priest that could go into the presence of God. That curtain was ripped so that you and I could enter in. We can enter into the presence of God. There's five things that I'd like us to look at today. And I'm telling you that there's five things in case as we go along, you're thinking, how much longer is this going to go on? Well, there's five. Number one, we are invited to enter in by God Himself. Think about that. We are invited by God, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Creator of the universe, invites you and me to enter into His presence. We live in a celebrity society. We have for a long time. Celebrities are big deals. And so if you get to meet a celebrity, you get to get an autograph from a celebrity, that's a big deal. Some of you might remember a couple of years ago, Cooper DeJean, who was an All-American from University of Iowa, and played for the Philadelphia Eagles 2 years ago when they won the Super Bowl. And he made a great interception that kind of turned the game around. He was a star. Well, the Eagles were invited to the White House, and the president himself singled out Cooper DeJean and had him come up. What we're talking about today is a way bigger deal than that. God Himself invites us to enter in, to come in to His presence because of what Christ has done. I shake my head in amazement that God would. He invites us to enter in. Number two, God knows your name. God knows your name. There was a little girl who was trying to say the Lord's Prayer, and she didn't get it quite right. She said this. She said, "Our Father who art in heaven, how do you know my name?" See, the hallowed be stuff she didn't get. But she was pretty on, wasn't she? How does God know my name? How does God know your name? That's incredible. You know the number of people that don't know our names? It's pretty vast. But God knows our name. And the Bible tells us not only that, that He knows all about us. The psalmist said, "When I was still in my mother's womb, you knew me. Such thoughts," he said, "are too wonderful for me to even comprehend." How can that be? If you go to a section in Matthew, you get a whole list of all the things that God knows about us. For example, do you know that God knows the number of hairs on your head? For some of us, that's easier than others, but the fact still is, He knows that. And it goes through a whole list of all the things that God knows about us. Again, the psalmist said, when I go to bed, when I get up, you know all of that. More than that, God knows all about us, including the good and the bad. God knows it all. And yet, he still invites us to enter into his presence. The Bible makes it very clear that that was all because of what Christ did when he became the sacrificial lamb and died on the cross for us. But I still shake my head in amazement when I think that God knows my name. And how could God know my name? I think the Southern Gospel song has it right when it says, who am I that a king would die for? Who am I that he'd pray not my will but thine, Lord? The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so, and to an old wooden cross would go. For who am I? God knows our name. Number three, he invites us to enter in. We were talking a little earlier about the old days. He invites us to enter in, and then he uses an old-time word, a Bible word. He invites us to enter in to have fellowship. When's the last time you heard that? Fellowship. He invites us to have fellowship. Now, how do we have fellowship? What do we have in common? The truth? We don't have a lot in common. We don't all have the same personality. We don't all have the same likes and dislikes and interests. We're not all drawn to the same things, except, go back to where we started this morning, except Jesus. That's what we have in common. That's how we can have fellowship. We have fellowship because Jesus died and allows us to enter in with one another. Last church I pastored, there was a woman in the church that was the kind of person that every pastor wants to have. She would sit there on the edge of her seat almost, glued to everything I said. She took notes. Yeah, unbelievable. She took notes. Except, I'm a big sports fan, and so I use a lot of sports analogies. And when I started talking about anything to do with sports, her eyes glassed over. Because she could care less. She had no interest in that at all. And we are like that. It's Jesus that makes us one. 1 John 1:7 says, and we have fellowship, there's the word, with one another because of Jesus, whose blood cleanses us from all sins. Fellowship comes because of Christ. Scott mentioned Toby, one day asked us to take him to Culver's for lunch. So we go to Culver's. We started in the door. Before we hardly got in the door, there stood a lady who plays the organ at the, I'm bad on directions, Liscum Church of Christ, over that way someplace, right? Plays the organ there. And so we had fellowship with her before we hardly got into Culver's. Then we went and got in line, and when we got in line, there were three ladies ahead of us from the Ferguson Bible Church, where I preach at quite a bit. And we talked. We had fellowship. And before we even got done with that, a man came up from the Journey Church, where I preach at quite a bit, and I talked with him. And when we got to our booth and sat down, a couple came up to us from the Union Community Church, where I preach at quite a bit. And we had fellowship. I mean, I felt like I was in church. Now, why is it that we had fellowship? Because we were all alike? Absolutely not. Because we all had the same interests? No way. There's only one thing that draws us together, and it's Jesus. And isn't it a beautiful thing, folks, that those of us who don't have the same interests, the same personalities, the same likes and dislikes, all of that, that we can get together on Sunday morning in fellowship? It's amazing. And it's all because of Jesus who invites us to enter in. Moving on to the next one. My wife helped with a thing called Bible Study Fellowship. It's a women's Bible study. They had it in Marshalltown. And quite a few women from a lot of churches come to it. Her role in this, she and another grandma were to do the preschool kids, was take care of them. But you don't just take care of them. You have to have a lesson. You have to have singing. You have to have activities, all this kind of stuff. On this particular day, it was the other grandma's responsibility to do the devotion. And the lesson and what was going on was they were out in the wilderness. And she was trying to paint a picture for these little preschoolers of what it was like to be out in the wilderness. And she said, just out in the middle of nowhere, there's just nothing. She said, there wasn't even a McDonald's. One of the little kids, little boys, raised his hand and said, was there a Culver's? I say that because how precious are they? But I ask you this today. Aren't your kids precious? Your grandkids precious? Your family precious? Your friends precious? So number four is we are invited to enter in to invite others to enter in. It's our greatest role. It's the most important thing that we do. It's our task. It's what we're called to. The Bible says what? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Let your light so shine before men. Whatever we do, whatever our job is, our greatest job is to share our faith with others. My 14-year-old now grandson came up to me and said, I want to play a music video for you, Grandpa, which that was great. And it was a remake of a praise and worship song by Matt Redman. The worship song, which was voted the top worship song, was Bless the Lord, O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I will worship your holy name. So that's what he wanted to do. But the music video that he showed me was by a Christian rapper called KB. How many of you here heard of KB? Hey, how about that? Good. I'd never heard of KB, and I listened to a lot of contemporary Christian music. At any rate, so he puts on this music video, and the video begins with KB sitting behind the piano, and he starts out with singing, Bless the Lord, O my soul, worship his holy name. Then he stops, steps back from the microphone, and begins his rap version of the song. From that point on, I never understood another word. But my grandson wanted me to watch it, so I did. And when it got done, he said, "You remember that song?" I said, "Well, I remember the first two lines." And then he said, here's the point. And then he said, "Do you remember when you used to sing that to me?" And I did. The song's 15 years old, so he couldn't have been more than a year old if he was that, when to put him down to bed at night or to put him down for a nap, I would sing praise and worship songs. And obviously that's one of them that I sang to him because he remembered that. The truth is that I sang praise and worship songs to all my grandkids. Why did I do that? Because I have such a great voice and I wanted all of them to hear it. In many of the churches that I preach at, I wear a wireless mic. And the main job of the sound technicians is to make sure during the singing that that mic is off. So it's not because I have a great voice. I sang that to all of them because I wanted them to know that God has invited them to enter in. Our kids, our grandkids, our family, our friends, our neighbors are precious. And the greatest privilege we have is to invite them to enter in. Had a good friend who was also a co-worker, about 10 years older than me. Godliest man I've ever known. And I was trying to encourage him one day when we were talking, because he had four boys, at that time four grown boys, every one of them solid Christians. And they were grown, and they had families of their own, and all of their families went to church. And I was complimenting. I said, "You got to be so proud." I said, "But they're all grown. What are you doing now?" And he said to me, "I'm working on my grandkids. And I'm asking you this morning, who are you working on?" We are invited in to invite others to enter in. When I was working on this point, point four, when I was working on this point, the day I was working on it, I read a devotion by Henry Blackaby. And you could say, well, this is just coincidence, that, you know, just one of those things. I don't believe any of that, but you can think that if you want. But as I was working on this, I read this in the devotion. Now, it's only three sentences long, so focus, okay? He said, "Take a moment to reflect on the price God was willing to pay in order to bring salvation to you. Are you glad that he was willing to do what was necessary?" And then he said, "Will you not join him in whatever is necessary to bring salvation to those around you?" We are invited to enter in to invite others to enter in. I say to you this morning, folks, that's the gospel. That Christ died on the cross, that the curtain was torn, and that we were invited to enter in. That's the gospel. And I am not ashamed of the gospel. Which leads us to five. Those of you keeping track, this is the last one. We are invited to enter in to boldly proclaim our faith in Christ. to boldly proclaim our faith in Christ. Hard for me to believe, but I have been retired for almost 14 years. And before I retired, when I was still full-time, I was invited to come down to the Iowa State Capitol to have the opening prayer for the House and Senate. And so when I agreed to do that, I got a letter from the contact person. I got a 3-page letter with my instructions. And the main point of those 3 pages was there are a lot of people from a lot of different beliefs, a lot of different religions, all that kind of stuff. And we need to be careful that we don't offend anyone. In other words, she was saying, telling me that I should be tactful. Now, some of you at least know me. Who's more tactful than me? Don, who's more tactful than me? See? I did my very best. I worked hard on that prayer and trying to follow what I was asked to do. However, I was not coming down there to have prayer because I believed in any of these other religions or any of these other things that other people might believe in. I was down there to pray because of what we're talking about today. Because Christ invited me, you, to enter in. I can't tell you all that I prayed that day, almost 14 years ago, but I can tell you today how I ended that prayer. Because I entered that prayer by saying, "For it is in the mighty name of Jesus that I pray." We are invited to enter in to boldly proclaim our faith in Christ. My favorite popular song today is called "That's Who I Praise" by Brandon Lake. I'm not going to sing it for you. You're welcome. But part of that song says, "You are the Lion of Judah. You are the Lamb that was slain. You're the only one who's worthy, worthy, worthy of all of our praise. And that's who I praise." And I say to you this morning, folks, that's who I praise. Who do you praise?